Word of
mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
They're armed and staying put. A group of protesters broke into an unoccupied
armed, self-styled militiamen are occupying the Malheur National
by a group of activists protesting the federal prosecution of two ranchers.
The armed occupation broke off from a peaceful rally earlier in the
clips
day.
Clips there from CNN, Reuters, and the Associated Press, all covering the takeover of an Oregon wildlife refuge by anti-government activists, which is continuing this week. Or wait, should we call them a militia or domestic terrorists or armed protesters? Is this a protest or is it a standoff? Well, news outlets are struggling with how to identify the group occupying a federal wildlife management office in eastern Oregon, along with what exactly the group is doing. It's a dilemma for traditional journalism that Paul Fahre outlines in his Washington Post article, Terrorists, Freedom Fighters, Oregon Standoff Poses Quandary for Media. And Paul, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia.
Well, you know, in your conversations with editors at newspapers and other major news outlets who are wrestling with the question about how to describe the situation in Oregon, what are some of the things that they told you that they were wrestling with or trying to avoid?
One of the things that they're wrestling with is how to describe who these people are and what their cause is. And you get into a very fraught area once you do that. Do you call them activists? Do you call them protesters? Do you call them terrorists? We so far have rejected the word terrorist because it does not appear that their intent is to terrorize, which would seem to be the basic reason to use that word. The other question might be, how do you describe what their politics are? That's not entirely clear either, because they haven't exactly said, we are conservatives, we are ultra-conservatives, we are far-right conservatives, or whatever they might be. So it would be our imposition of our own thoughts on them to make such judgments. And so far, I think most of the mainstream media, at least, has withheld trying to characterize the politics of this and just say, here is their cause, here is what they say in their own words, and that's what we'll leave it at that.
What about the 150 armed men now occupying this office? What are they calling themselves?
You know, that's a very good question. They, the leader of the group, a fellow named Eamon Bundy, has said, we're not terrorists. He's also said that they're not militiamen. Militia does have a strict definition. It also has a general definition. And these guys don't really quite fit that definition. A militia, more or less, is an organized group. It's part of an armed force for a country, and it has a semi-official kind of consideration. That's not what these guys are. This is just a loose confederation of people who feel that there's a grievance and they want to protest. And so militia doesn't fit. Group protesters, you name it, it gets very kind of anodyne and boring. But again, once you start choosing other adjectives or other labels, you start taking sides, and that's not what we want to do.
Well, there's a big distinction here between traditional media outlets and the language posted on social media. So what's the responsibility of news media in a case like this when you have, you know, people throwing around terms like terrorism or freedom fighters online?
Well, social media is each individual's choice. They're not obligated to any professional standard of behavior or of conduct, whereas journalists presumably are. We try, again, to cast things in just as basic a factual light as we can, let the reader, let the viewer, let the listener come up with their own conclusion. The idea is always to take us and our opinion out of it and let others come up with their own opinion. The conclusions on social media are inevitable and natural. People feel very strongly about this story, but we're supposed to be dispassionate. We're supposed to not be on anyone's side.
Your colleague, the Washington Post reporter Janelle Ross, is questioning publicly why the media has not is not using more charged terminology like revolt or insurgents or terrorism, when those terms would almost certainly be applied to a similar group of African Americans, she says, who occupied a federal building to protest police violence, or a group of Muslim Americans. What do you think?
Well, with all respect to her, I think she's wrong about that. We have described the people in Ferguson, the people in Baltimore who were protesting as protesters. We didn't call them criminals. We didn't call them thugs. We didn't attempt to diminish them or label them. We certainly described what they did and what their protest was all about, but we never started throwing labels around. The opinion that she gave on in her column is not one that news reporters would share. And that's the difference that is a bit subtle, but it's the difference between a columnist and a news reporter. News reporters are trained to see the world in as neutral a fashion as they can possibly get. Columnists want to tell you what to think, and she's telling you what to think. That's not the job of a reporter, though.
You talked earlier about the decision to avoid the term terrorism because there isn't an apparent wish to terrorize an entire population. So what would it take for major news organizations to call it terrorism? What would have to happen?
I think the events that haven't occurred would have to occur. There would have to be some kind of violence. There would have to be violence in the name of the cause. There would have to be an outreach to the community to cause fear in the community. If you look at Paris, if you look at San Bernardino, those were events in which the acts committed were intended to frighten people, and that was the main purpose of what happened. That's not clear in this case that anybody's trying to frighten anyone. They certainly have a cause that they're committed to, but there's been no violence, and it's not clear that it will come to violence. And even if it does come to violence, that doesn't necessarily make it terrorism either. So, I mean, we get into kind of narrow definitional things about this. Look, I mean, I understand that people disagree with what they're doing. I've got my own personal thoughts on that as well, but we do try to follow some kind of standard of definitions of words before we start slinging them around. I'd also say that, you know, columnists are not obligated to do that. I mean, they can use any word they want. People on social media can use any word they want, of course. This is the standards of, you know, straight-up news reporting. But I understand within even a news organization there are differing standards, and it becomes very confusing to readers or viewers or listeners. Like, where are you coming from? Are you a columnist? Are you a reporter? Are you a blogger? It all gets very confusing, and it all gets very blurry to the average person on the receiving end of this.
Well, Paul Fahre, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Fahre covers media for The Washington Post. He is very clear on the journalistic imperative to use unbiased language when covering events, and that news consumers consider the source of reporting or opinion. His colleague, Janelle Ross, is not alone in charging that media and police were slow to respond to the takeover in Oregon and would be responding much differently if a government building were occupied by Black or Muslim armed protesters. The hashtags Vanilla ISIS, Y'al-Qaeda, Yihadists, and Oregon Under Attack are highlighting disparities with tweets like this from Roland S. Martin. Did I miss the call for the National Guard in Oregon? I recall them in Ferguson and Baltimore. Moody tweeted, 12-year-old with toy, gunned down within 2.3 seconds. 150 armed men take over a federal building, barely a peep. Meanwhile, a meme showing Black men smashing shop windows in Baltimore side by side with the Oregon protesters, mostly in cowboy hats, standing around with signs and flags, points to what that poster says is the liberal media bias. Someone under the handle Freddington tweeted, "Not sure the best reaction from the left is a burst of online bigoted stereotypes about rural white people. Y'al-Qaeda, ahem." Kelsey shared her thoughts. It's absolutely disgusting that the left is calling the Oregon men Y'al-Qaeda. You can't compare these men to murderous terrorists. But we'd like to know what you think of the coverage. Is there a double standard for reporting on the standoff with armed protesters in Oregon and demonstrations or threats by non-white actors? How do you think the media should refer to the group? As militiamen, armed protesters, anti-government activists? Well, let us know what you think on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio.